This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Load 'em up, boys.
To you live. This is Lock and Load. This is hour number two. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now then, every now and again, I do this thing where, I get a lot of guns, and I try to shoot all the guns all the same way. And I've always been taught that you angle your hands to control that recoil. And with a Glock, I would shoot low left. So, most of the time whenever I post a YouTube video, you have to sort of grimace and brace yourself for the comments that are going to be coming. Because you're going to get, I get told stuff like, you're bald, you're fat, and your mother dresses you funny. Or you want some cheese with your wine. I made a video about, I can't shoot a Glock. And I get this comment from this person who's watched the video. You're shooting low left because you have an ulnar deviation instead of a radial deviation in your dominant shooting hand wrist. This is a fancy way of saying that you're exerting more force towards the beaver tail area. Instead, it's better to exert force towards the lower back strap. While you're doing this, just let the gun do its thing and don't fight the recoil. Well, nobody's ever given me any advice that would actually bear fruit. So I reached out to this commenter on YouTube. He's known as Just Pick Already, but here with us today, he's known as Tony Wong. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So what is a ulnar deviation versus a radial deviation? I know you had just looked up the words, but you knew what you were talking about. You were just looking for the term. So what is that?
Yeah, I want to start this off with the caveat. I mean, I'm not a surgeon or I'm not a doctor or anything, and I just wanted a more exact or more precise definition of what I was trying to describe. So when you have your wrist, if you bend your wrist towards your thumb, that would be a radial deviation, and if you bend it towards your pinky, that would be a ulnar deviation.
Okay.
And, yeah, so looking at your video of, you know, why you shoot left, I think the common thing, the diagnosis, is that it has to do with jerking the trigger, or it might have to do with some sort of flinch. And it's one of those things where that might be treating the symptom rather than the cause. And so for those, to kind of give a little bit of backstory, I do a lot of competitive shooting, so I spend a lot of time thinking about how to shoot well. And when I look at people's technique, there's things that I can see or point out that might not be completely obvious to the shooter. And so that was one of those things where perhaps your wrist positioning might affect the reason why you can't shoot Glocks, whereas you can shoot other platforms just as well.
Well, that was my question. But you continued on with it because I went and I replayed my first, I replayed the first shot at 650 as you suggested, which What was interesting about that for me was I was facing the camera. And I was at distance, and with the first shot, I was also getting hit in the face with a ricochet, but, you know, that's beside the point. Anyway.
I believe I linked at 6:50, or it might be like the time right after that.
Right.
Shows, you were showing a side view of your grip as you were shooting rapid fire.
Right.
And what I noticed from that is right before you pull the trigger, you have a push in your form. And so you were pushing down, and I'm assuming it's low left because you say you're shooting low left with your Glock.
Right. And I do it with no other gun. No other gun. Not CZ. Not of the striker-fired ones, not CZ, and not SIG, which Glock, CZ, and SIG are the only striker-fired guns I've actually... And the VP9. I have shot the VP9, so... Of the striker-fired guns, the only one that I push low left is with Glock.
And what did you feel as though what was the cause of that before?
I wasn't sure, because when I had open-heart surgery, when I went back to the range, that phenomena was so pronounced. I was lining up, putting sights on center mass, and I was literally hitting the support 2 feet below the target on the left-hand side. I was hitting the support of the target and taking the entire target out, just blowing the support away.
Okay.
I mean, there was such a disconnect going there that I thought that there was a disconnect front between, because, you know, when they saw your chest down the middle, there's a lot of nerve endings that are severed.
Sure.
I didn't know what was going on with that. I'm not... a nerve specialist. I just presumed there was something going on with this, and I got the best I got to do with a straight out of the box Glock. And at the time that this was going on, as a matter of fact, I was actually shooting Agency Arms Glocks. Was a like a silver dollar sized group that was slightly low left.
Okay,
that's the best I could do.
All right, so from that we can diagnose that if you're shooting a silver size, you know, silver dollar size group, that means that you're consistently shooting the same way, right? And the question is, why is it happening only with your Glocks and not with any other striker fire pistol or platform?
Right.
And so for those, so we're all on the same page. Glocks have a 22-degree angle off of the vertical. Whereas a more traditional grip is an 18-degree angle.
Right.
And what that means is that traditionally guns are more of a neutral position in your grip, and they're more upright. Just think of it that way. And then Glocks have you bend your wrist more forward. So we will have this ulnar deviation, right? So you're bending it towards the thumb area. And so for those who have a flinch in their shooting, that's more pronounced. Like everyone has a flinch because there's an explosion that's happening in your face. And so your muscles kind of react to that, right? React to that force. And so you're trying to counteract that force. Now, if your wrists are bent, they're biased more towards that ulnar deviation while holding a Glock, if you're going to flinch the same way, the flinch, instead of flinching forward, it flinches forward and then it goes downward as well. And so my theory is that you have that flinch with all the guns that you shoot.
Right.
However, they don't show up on the paper. Whereas with a Glock, since your wrists are already biased, you'll have that flinch, and then all of a sudden it seems like you're shooting low left.
So we're coming up on the first break, so I've got to figure out how to mitigate the flinch, isn't it? That's the root. That's where the root is. Is there any website you'd like to push anybody to? I know that Tony's not a doctor. I thought Tony was a hand doctor or a shooting instructor. He's a software engineer, but he is a shooting competitor who wins with unlikely guns in most of the shooting competitions based on what he's told me. So we'll be right back. This is a fascinating topic for me because I've been fighting this for years. This is Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confidence that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out, arrowprecisionusa.com. We are speaking with a very, very observant competitive shooter named Tony Wong. He has identified a problem that I have been mystified about for years, and we were just talking about the flinch. Now, this weekend, and I didn't have time to shoot a Glock this weekend, but this weekend I went out and I shot Nighthawks. And at first, I was not thinking flinch. What I was thinking was pushing on the lower part of the back strap, right?
Okie doke.
So I'm pushing on the lower part of the back strap, and then I'm getting really angry because I wasn't wearing my glasses. I was wearing sunglasses. I got old eyes. I would see on the steel that I was shooting, I would see I'd see one or two hits, but then I would not be seeing anything else. And then my buddy that lets me shoot at his range, he was like, "Well, you shoot that gun really well." I was like, "I didn't hit nothing." He said, "You were hitting all in the same spot," and it was center mass. And I was completely unprepared for that, to be honest with you. I was shocked and surprised at it. And I am going to go back and shoot Glock. As you know, I got a Terran tactical gun coming, and there's not going to be that much difference between it and a regular Glock. So that's not going to be something I'm going to throw into the woods if I don't like it. So with that going, what kind of an exercise? Like when I was in the military, we used to stick a quarter on the barrel.
Sure.
And pull the trigger. And we had to balance the quarter, work the trigger, and all that other stuff. Which that's sort of cheating to do that on a Glock because it's got a flat top to the slide and everything else. What can I do to try to train myself to mitigate that flinch?
Oh dear. So I can talk on this topic for a very, very long time because I thought about this question a lot.
Sure.
And the thing is, I believe that most of the common wisdom that's out there is incorrect or at least very inefficient. And so, for example, when someone's learning dry fire for the first time, and dry fire for those who are unaware is when you're practicing manipulating your gun with no live ammo, so you're shooting your gun dry. And the thing is, usually, for example, that quarter trick, right? You put the quarter on your front sight, and then you pull the trigger to see if it stays there. And the problem with that is that it teaches people to deliberately pull their trigger. And when they're actually shooting, no one really pulls it that slow. So when you're shooting from a competition standpoint, you have to pull the trigger as soon as, you know, your sights are lined up or when you believe you have a good sight picture. So you don't have time to slowly press the trigger. Same thing in a self-defense scenario. These are things you can't think about. So everyone trains and practices something that they will actually never use. And that's why I think there's such a discrepancy between, you know, what people think, how people think they can shoot versus how they practice, right?
Okay.
And so in order to, I guess, really understand your own trigger press, you have to press it in a way that simulates live fire. And so you can do the same quarter trick, but instead of taking your, you know, the sweet time to pull the trigger, you have to press that trigger as fast as possible. And you essentially have to slap the trigger. So ideally, your grip should be good enough where you pull, like it doesn't matter if you pull the trigger poorly. Your grip should hold the gun exactly where you want it to go. So you'll still hit even if you pull it poorly. Whereas everyone tries to work on, oh, you have to pull it perfectly, and then you're thinking too much about your finger, when in reality you should be thinking about the target.
Okay, I'm going to try to wrap my head around this real quick. So I need to develop a uniform grip on the gun.
You have to understand your own grip. Okay. So the basics are this, right? You want to get the web of your hand. So that's the space between your thumb and your index finger. That's the web. You want to get that as high up the beaver tail as possible, right? That's common knowledge. And also, you want to make sure that your middle finger, your knuckle, right, they sits under the trigger guard. Now, everyone kind of who shoots a little bit knows about this. However, I think the issue is that when you just tell this to someone for the first time, they're thinking, okay, I need to get that web into the beaver tail. So that goes back to, you know, putting too much emphasis on that area. Like, once your beaver tail is in that spot, you don't have to worry about it anymore. What's more important now is you have to think about where on the gun can I apply leverage to. So during the recoil action of the gun, you can, you know, do your best to either mitigate it or set yourself up so then you can pull the trigger the next time and your sights will be exactly where you want it to be.
Okay. This is beginning to gel for me. Now, as a competitive shooter, do you train that way all the time, or is this just something for me that I can take and turn it from a practice to a technique?
Okay. I guess. So when you dry fire, do you dry fire at home?
Yes.
And so when you pull the trigger, do you pull it very slowly or do you just press it as fast as you can?
Well, it depends. If I'm working the trigger reset, I'm not really, you know, I'm working until it hits the click and then I'm pulling it again. And sometimes I'm not even sticking it out there if I'm working the trigger reset. When I'm working the trigger as far as trying to work the trigger and keep the gun steady, I'm trying real hard to keep the gun from moving in my field of view while I pull the trigger.
And are you using, just for out of curiosity, are you using a gun that has a red on it, or are you using iron sights?
I use both.
Okay. And which do you primarily practice with?
Most of the guns that the gun that I carry the most right now is a iron sighted CZP-10C.
Okay. Now, I'm primarily a dot shooter. The reason why I train with a dot mostly is because the dot will give you more precise information, right? Because there's times where if you're holding a dot gun,
I got lost in the conversation. You hang on for me, please. We're speaking with Tony Wong, competitive shooter. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to chamberscustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is altering their COVID-19 related guidance, once again telling people to wear masks in some areas even if they are fully vaccinated against the virus that causes the disease. Reacting to the new guidance, Fox News medical contributor Dr. Marty McCrary.
It may be reasonable in areas where there's active outbreaks for those fully vaccinated to wear a mask indoors. The problem is when you create a mandate, you instantly politicize something. And in public health, we very rarely use public policy to force people to do something. You've got to be very careful when you pull that fire alarm.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, the agency also recommending that kids wear masks in school this fall. Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants the National Guard to help with arrests at the Mexican border. He sent a letter to the Texas National Guard saying they need all the help they can get in capturing suspects. This is USA Radio News. The price of homes keeps soaring. A new report found home prices jumped 16.6% in May of this year compared to the same month last year. That's the highest mark in the report's history, and the 20-year composite index revealed the biggest year-over-year price jumps happened in Phoenix, San Diego, and Seattle. A House Select Committee is investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. In her opening statements at the hearing, Wyoming Republican Liz Cheney said the violence that day cannot go uninvestigated. Mississippi Democrat Benny Thompson calling the attack on the Capitol planned and coordinated. Officials in Florida believe all the victims of the Surfside condo collapse have been accounted for. Miami-Dade County Mayor Danielle Levine-Cava telling reporters 242 people have been accounted for, including the 98 who died as a result of the collapse more than a month ago. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We're speaking with a competitive shooter by the name of Tony Wong, a software engineer by trade, but a very observant young man who pinpointed and didn't insult me while doing it. Actually interested me when he contacted me to tell me, hey, this is what's going on. So where were we when I had to shut you down as we were heading into the break, Tony? Where were we at?
I believe we were talking about something about recoil. But I guess I can, if you have a question, we can go from there. Or like a more specific.
I guess my question that I would want to ask as a shooter, am I doing anything right? From your observing with the way, I mean, am I mitigating recoil pretty good? Is my grip okay except for the flinch? I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
It's one of those things where everyone is doing like everyone's working towards doing it perfectly, right? But we're not robots, so everyone has some sort of flaw in their technique.
Sure.
From what I'm seeing about how you hold the gun, it's fine. Like, it's a standard or it's a modern thumb sport grip. Like, all that's okay. The thing is, I believe that most people fight the recoil too much. So if you look at European shooters versus American shooters, you'll notice that the European shooters have a more relaxed grip on their gun, whereas in America, shooters tend to go with like the brute force, like I gotta, you know, clamp on the gun as hard as possible, right? And so both the strategies work. It's just kind of your preference. I prefer the method that doesn't require, you know, brute strength. And so the way I think about it is this. What causes recoil? And the answer to that is as the slide is moving backwards, right? There's no muzzle rise yet. The muzzle rise only happens when the slide hits the very back of the gun. And then that momentum, since now the slide can't go any further back, that momentum carries the gun, and then that kind of tries to lift the frame out of your hand, right?
Right.
However, it has to come back. And when it comes back, once the slide hits the front of the gun, it's going to pull the gun back down. So what a lot of people do is that they react to the initial recoil, right? So the initial, once that momentum hits the back, the gun starts lifting, and then people start panicking. But they're not, you know, consciously panicking, but their muscles are kind of doing it, right? And then they're giving too much of a flinch or too much of a push back in the opposite direction. But if you simply just let the gun recoil and do its thing, it's going to return back for you. And so that's why when you're holding the gun, right, like you have to have a firm grip with your support hand.
Right.
Your left hand can be relatively relaxed. And really, for example, when I'm shooting, the only place that I really put an emphasis is on that lower back strap, and that is it. And I just let the gun move. And so I'm shooting mostly with a subcompact, and I shoot it just as well as, you know, my full size Glocks. And it's just that I understand that, you know, it's like no matter how hard I try, I'm not going to stop that gun from recoiling. So I'll just let it, you know, it's very fast. The slide cycle is, I believe it's something like 0.06 of a second, right? And so I'm not splitting or I'm not pulling the trigger again faster than that. So there's no point in trying to rush to get it back to you know, where it has to be, because it's going to be there before I can react to it.
Okay. So it almost sounds to me like part of my problem is that I am trying too hard to control recoil.
Perhaps. Have you ever, just have your hands out, relax, shoot the gun, like just pull it once, and then see where your sights end up?
You know, when I was taking Steve Fisher's Red Dot class, we had to do a very interesting little exercise where we would, like in my case, I was shooting a Staccato P.
Okay.
So my thumb is on the grip safety and my index finger's on the trigger.
Sure.
And that's all that was holding the gun. We were sticking the gun out in front of us, and every time I pulled the trigger on that, I was hitting center mass every time.
Okay.
Center mass, center mass, center mass. And that was with a Staccato P. Then since I've tried that with P10s, I have not tried that with a Glock. I have never tried that with a Glock. I probably need to try that with a Glock, which I guess my thumb would be riding really high in the beaver tail. Is that where I would put that? Or do I need to be down there lower into the back strap?
What do you mean by your thumb?
Well, I mean, all I'm going to be holding the gun with is my thumb and my forefinger. That's the most relaxed grip I can put on. One-handed, thumb, forefinger.
Sure.
So, and with that, I mean, I hit the target. I mean, that's my best shooting. It's not very realistic. It's not something I'm going to be able to do in a combat situation, but it is my most effective shooting that I'm able to do. So, and it illustrates to me, and I've always, I mean, Fisher would tell me, has told me many times that the problem you have is your meat hooks. So he tells me on a regular basis that my problem is my hands.
Okay.
So obviously I'm doing the wrong thing with them when I employ both of them in there. So do I need to, you're talking about a more relaxed grip, and maybe I need to stop. Maybe I, instead of trying to push forward onto that axis that I sort of have this rotational axis I see in my mind, where I'm trying to keep the gun from rotating too far back on that axis, and I'm trying to keep it on that point where it rotates and comes back, mechanically almost, if you would.
Okay.
Do I need to sort of abandon that little picture in my head?
Well, I mean, you can keep whatever framework you have in your mind. I mean, it's one of those things where you need to understand, if you put in no resistance, where does the gun end up, right? So you have to, you have this mental map of what the forces on this axis or whatever looks like, right? And so you have an idea that you have to counteract those forces to counteract the rotation.
Right.
Am I right? So what happens if you remove your counteracting force? What does it look like now? And do you feel as though if you do that, it'll rotate too much?
Well, I'll have to explain the story behind this. We don't have enough time for me to do this now, but Tony is a competitive shooter. He shoots Glocks, although he does have one Staccato he's told me about. Staccato C2, which everybody should have a Staccato C2. But he shot competitively primarily with a Glock 26, which is really interesting with his little short stubby grip, and one, which that just makes it even more interesting. But commented on my YouTube video and commented in a constructive criticism way that I just had to explore. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. I have been speaking with a young fella named Tony Wong, and he took the time to watch the video, to study the video, and then to give me some pointers, and then to join us here and talk about what's going on with me and these Glocks. And how often do you see this problem? How often does this kind of thing pop up with Glocks?
Well, it's I guess it depends on who I'm hanging out with. Because usually around the competitor or the competition shooting world, like, everyone already has solid fundamentals, so you don't usually see this low left issue. It's one of those things I see a lot if I'm just browsing YouTube. But if I'm, you know, shooting with buddies, like, everyone's working on different things.
So not common or very common?
Well, not common in the competition world, but I guess more common for casual shooters.
Okay. So in the competition world, how accurate are these guys with these? How accurate do they manage to get themselves when it comes to these Glocks?
So we're not usually we're not really concerned with accuracy given unlimited time, because usually, I mean, if you've been competing for a few months, the accuracy is already there. And what I mean by that is everyone, like, most people can probably shoot a quarter size group at 5 yards, 5 to 7 yards, I would say. And for me personally, I can shoot a Glock at 7 yards. If I put 100 shots onto a piece of paper, the grouping will probably be max of half an inch.
Pretty good group.
And if I shoot that at speed, it might grow to maybe, I don't know, an inch or maybe an inch and a half. And by speed, I mean, you know, most indoor ranges will say that's rep firing. But, I mean, if you know how to shoot, then it's just the standard procedure.
Now, I did do one thing. Are you a USPA Grandmaster?
Yeah, I'm a USPSA Grandmaster.
Okay. Now, that's not something you told me when we were speaking. That is a slight fact you omitted. Are you still competitive? Are you still shooting?
I shoot casually here and there just to hang out with friends. I kind of stopped shooting majors.
Just got tired of it? I mean, after you get to that, I guess, to that height, does it become a matter of, well, what else have I got to accomplish or what? Because you seem to be a relatively young fella, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I'm relatively new to shooting as well. Like, I haven't been shooting for that long. But making Grandmaster is kind of just a stepping stone. I mean, there's many people who are way better shooters than I am. And there's many, you know, there's probably, I don't know, in the division that I shoot, maybe 50 or 60 Grandmasters in the United States. And so it's not like that rare of an accomplishment. I mean, I guess it's rare from a number standpoint, but there's other people that are much better than me.
Why a Glock 26?
For me, it was the gun that was, long story short, it allowed me to see my weaknesses faster, so then I knew exactly what to improve on next.
Now, the thing about the Glock 26 has been tested by Masada Yub. Are you aware of him? So Masada Yub tested it against his Glock 34, and he, as far as his accuracy at any given range,
sure,
he was not losing any accuracy going to the Glock 26.
Yeah, it's all psychological.
Well, I mean, as far as the little guns of that size, I find the Glock 26, if I could just get something to put my pinky on, that's as good a little gun as there is.
Yep, I think it's a fantastic gun.
So, USPSA Grandmaster, that's interesting. Now, did you ever shoot anything else in competition besides the Glock 26?
I mean, right now, I guess, well, I casually shoot my my rifle. But I'm I have a setup for the Staccato C2, and I might play around with that once in a while. But primarily, it's just been the Glock 26.
What kind of holster do you use for the Staccato?
I just actually bought a Ghost Race holster. I haven't. It's like my delivery box right now. I haven't opened it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I recently just got the Staccatos. I have no idea how it actually performs.
I carried that, and I wonder if sometimes if that's not my problem as well. I carried 1911s in the military. And I say 1911s because every time I would get reassigned or something, I would get another gun. So I qualified with that for 7 years, the whole time I was in the military. And then when I came out of the military, initially I went with the with a 1911, but then I decided to try this thing called a Glock 22.
Okay.
And I really liked the Glock, except I was so new to the Glock. I was such an early adopter of the Glock 22 that there was no 40 caliber ammunition made yet.
Oh, wow.
That was when 40 Smith & Wesson had just come out in response to when the FBI chopped down the cartridge because they couldn't carry the 10 millimeter. So, I switched from that to a Glock 45 ACP because at that time nobody had told me about 9mm and how I should just go with 9mm. But, you know, now I am with 9mm, and I've always just felt like one of my problems, not being able to shoot a Glock the way I want to, when I can shoot everything else the same way, the right way, or hit the right way, is that just a convenient accident that That's been part of the problem because it translates over. I'm shooting the same way with both types of guns, and yet there's one that's more forgiving than the other.
Well, it's quite possible that's the case.
Well, All I want to say is this. I want to stay in contact with you. I want to know how this thing goes with the Staccato C2 for you. No promises, but if there was something that you wanted to do a little deeper with Staccato, I could maybe put you in touch with people with that. If that's something you'd like to explore. I would think they probably don't get too many USPSA masters coming to them saying, I too wish to be a Staccato guy. So I don't know about that, but if that's something you'd like to explore, but it doesn't surprise me that you have the patience and the observation, because looking at one of your videos, it's obvious you play golf.
I just started playing golf. I actually never played a game yet.
Yeah. Have you already started working on putting spin on the ball and everything else?
Well, I mean, it was one of the reasons why I actually stopped competitive shooting. I just wanted to see if I could get good at golf, having never played in my life. So that's what I'm currently working on now.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that journey leads. I mean,
yeah.
Something
anyway,
busy.
I'd like to stay in touch with you if that's okay with you, and check back with you later on. And
yeah, let me know how it works with the Glock.
Well, I will text you the link when I go out and shoot a Glock the next time I go shoot a Glock. I may go out and buy one just to try to have one to shoot. If I was going to buy a 9mm right now today, which one would you recommend I buy that's not the Terran Tactical to go out there and try this new technique on? Which one would you recommend?
Well, I mean, I'm a Glock 26 guy, but, however, I think either a Glock 19 or a Glock 17 would probably be the better choices.
Very good. I will look into that tomorrow. I will look into that. So, Tony Wong, USPSA Grandmaster, watched one of my videos. That in and of itself is pretty good. I like that. And we're going to be testing his stuff out. We're going to be testing his theories and his recommendations. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
All right. We have hour number three inbound. That was that was one of the best conversations I've had about my shooting issues I'm ever going to have. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Excess Sights makes the brightest, fastest night sights in any light. Are you truly prepared for a high-stress self-defense situation at any time, day or night? Improve your self-defense capabilities with Excess's Tritium Night Sights. From big dots to three dots, Excess has options that deliver bright and easy-to-see sights in low light, bright light, or at the range. Use promo code LNL21 for 10% off your purchase. Get on target faster in any light with Excess Sights.
Frustrated by your lack of shooting accuracy? Mantis X can help. Mantis X is an electronic coaching system that analyzes your shooting mechanics, diagnoses your issues, and recommends improvements, all in real time. Attach the motion sensor to your gun, pair it with our free coaching app on your phone, and start shooting. Mantis X shows you what you're doing wrong. Use Mantis X three ways: live fire, dry fire, or airsoft. Shoot, analyze, improve. MantisX.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.